Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning, Belfast City Vineyard. This morning, we're going to be talking about the courage to keep going. Winston Churchill said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." The courage to continue. That is what we all need in this season. Many of us are discovering that just trying harder, just digging deeper, pushing down our fears and frustrations, burying ourselves in Netflix and Amazon Prime only works for so long. Are you weary, even exhausted? Well, then today's message, today's story is for you. In times like these, like the ones we are living in right now, even the strongest and the bravest of us can run out of steam. Today's story picks up where Alan left off last week with Elijah. And Elijah is considered one of the greatest prophets ever. Last week we heard about his epic feat of miraculous power, where Elijah calls down fire from heaven and defeats 850 prophets of Baal. And yet, as we'll see today, Elijah is human. Elijah is vulnerable to all the same things that we are vulnerable to. And so today we find Elijah running for his life and pretty much running on fumes. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. "I've had enough, Lord," he says, or as the Message version says, "enough of this." Can you relate to that statement? Because I totally can. My guess is that during this time of this pandemic that we can all relate to that on some level. But Elijah is more than just fed up. He does not want to go on living. It is a very, very dark day for Elijah. This great prophet who has seen miracles, signs, and wonders, this great prophet who has boldly confronted the powers of darkness, he is gripped with fear, and it seems that his courage has left him. What is going on? Well, first, he is exhausted. I'm sure that defeating the prophets of Baal was really exciting, but it must have also taken an awful lot out of him, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And that's before he went on the run. In our culture, we would probably say that he was at burnout point. The other thing that we see going on here is the spiritual or supernatural dynamic. We notice how the forces of darkness take advantage of Elijah's vulnerability, and what begins with Jezebel's death sentence turns into Elijah actually speaking death over himself. He is now partnering with Jezebel's agenda, and that is exactly what she wants. Just a comment here about spiritual warfare. There are two extremes. Either there's a demon under every bush all the time and things are over-spiritualized, and on the opposite end, we dismiss spiritual forces at work, and we dismiss what 1 Peter says when he says the devil is prowling around looking for someone to devour. But there is a middle ground, and actually this story is a brilliant illustration for the need for that sort of middle ground approach. Are you exhausted? Have you had enough? Are you thinking of tapping out? Maybe you've tapped out already. I think we'll see as we move through this story that the courage to keep going is a whole other kind of courage. This courage requires more than miracles and supernatural breakthrough. Signs and wonders do not guarantee what Eugene Peterson calls a long obedience in the same direction. Elijah had seen it all, but even he was ready to quit. This long obedience courage, this courage that perseveres, that does not give up or give in, this is a courage that causes the enemy to quake in his boots. It is a courage that he will pull up out all the stops to undermine. Elijah is in a battle, and so are we. Let's pick it up again with Elijah asleep from verse 5. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. By feeding Elijah, by allowing him to rest, we see a God who cares about our bodies and not just our spirits. Elijah already has a history of supernatural and unusual provision. Back in chapter 17, we see Elijah being fed by ravens. But ravens will not cut it this time. The situation is too grave and the battle is too fierce. And so this time God sends an angel, one of his messengers. And yet, this angel's message is not to call him to ministry or to announce the birth of a Messiah or anything like that. This time, the message is eat and rest. What if God's message to you today is to eat well, to rest well, to get some exercise? This too is holy. This too can be worship. God cares about Elijah's physical needs, and he cares for mine and for yours as well. He doesn't just want to feed you spiritually. He wants to feed you with food for your actual body. I wonder what this bread tasted like, freshly baked bread by an angel. Our friend and neighbor Alan recently made some fresh bread and dropped it by our door, and there really is nothing better than a fresh loaf of bread. Then the angel comes back a second time and feeds him again. Elijah receives a double portion of nourishment and rest. It's beautiful. Verse 9, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" he replied. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." God knows why Elijah is there, but he asks him why he's there. Maybe that seems odd to you. But sometimes when my kids come to me and they are looking for probably money or snacks or a new app on their phone, I maybe know exactly what they want or what they need, but I want to communicate with them on it. I want them to speak to me. I want to have a conversation. What I hear in Elijah's response to God in this conversation is, "God, I've done a lot of amazing stuff for you. But where are you? What is happening? This is not how it was supposed to go." And maybe you are saying similar things to God in this season. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We don't know how long all of this took. The wind tearing through the mountain, the earthquake, and then the fire. Was it hours? Was it days? How long did Elijah have to wait? We don't know. But we do know that even before this dialogue started, he had traveled 40 days in the wilderness to get to that mountain. So often, when I hear God speak or want to hear God speak, I want it to be A, instantaneous, like McDonald's drive-thru, B, loud and clear. I want the fireworks. I want that voice from heaven. C, I would also like some additional confirmation, ideally not just one, but probably three profoundly accurate prophetic words or signs. Waiting on the whisper does not come naturally to me. Waiting on the whisper requires patience and perseverance and discernment. I don't find any of those things easy. I don't know about you. But Elijah is determined, and Elijah waits. I think we need to notice that about him. This is what sets him apart. This is what makes him a great prophet. After he feels better and has been fed and rested, he doesn't then go out and buy a nicer house or go on the conference speaking circuit. He uses that strength to seek out more of God. He goes to the wilderness and he goes to the mountain seeking God. It's likely that he went to Mount Horeb because it's thought that that is where Moses encountered God in the cleft of the rock. What do we do when we have rested and we have some strength in us? Do we seek out more of God? And then Elijah hears the whisper. I have asked myself if I would have waited for the whisper. Would I have discerned the voice of God? Or would I have settled for the thunder, the fire, and the earthquake? Because it seems so much more exciting. I believe that one of the things that is happening in the Western church during this pandemic is that we are being stripped of some of our fire and our thunder. We love the big meetings and the conferences, but unfortunately we can become kind of addicted and dependent upon the buzz of those big events, lots of people, the band, and that is all wonderful, but sometimes there's little room for a whisper at those sort of gatherings. To learn to discern the whisper and the voice of God, that is an invitation for us today. For all of Elijah's running and anger and exhaustion, he still knows when it's God and when it's not. He still is able to discern. Do we have that sort of discernment? When Elijah hears the whisper of God, he pulls his cloak over his face. Why is that? Well, here are a couple of reasons why he may have done that. The first is that the angels cover their faces in the presence of God. It's a response to God's holiness, his otherness. Second, maybe there was a visible manifestation of God's presence, as well as a whisper. We don't know that for sure, but it might be a reason that Elijah covered his face. Third, another reason why I think Elijah may have covered his face, and this really is my own speculation, so please don't take this as gospel truth. It's just my own theory based on my own experience. So many times when I have sensed that whisper of God, that still small voice, it has moved me to tears. It has hit me emotionally. Many of us, when we cry, we also instinctively cover our faces. Was Elijah perhaps overcome with emotion? Was he weeping? Did the Lord finally get to the heart of the matter with him? Exhaustion is often coupled with a real sense of numbness. and inability to connect emotionally. I think we see here that Elijah has moved past that numb place and is able to engage his heart. So now the Lord asks him that same question again. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord said to him, "When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." Elijah gives near enough the same answer as he did the last time God asked him that question, but I think the tone is probably different. There is a new intimacy to this conversation. We feel the closeness. It's like the lens of the camera has zoomed right in. We see Elijah with his guard down. We see him vulnerable. At the end of himself, he says, "I am the only one left." We feel his loneliness and his isolation. And now God speaks back. Just as he gave him fresh bread for his body, he gives him a new strategy for the season ahead. Elijah might think that it's time to quit, but God does not. Elijah is not released into retirement. He is not sent to play golf and drink cocktails. Instead, he receives new marching orders. God also addresses Elijah's glaring blind spot. Elijah has said that he thinks he is all alone, but God tells him there's actually 7,000 God worshippers left. So Elijah's pretty far off the mark here. One left versus 7,000. How has Elijah got this so wrong? But I think this was all part of the enemy's plan, the spiritual battle to get him down, to get him to give up. Just like Elijah, we too can be way off. I know that I can. Just because I or you feel a certain way or see some things a certain way doesn't mean that they are true and real. Sometimes we need God or we need our community around us to shine some light on our blind spots, to help us see what we are currently not seeing. Are you letting others, including God, speak into your life? Elijah shows his strength of character again in how he responds to what God tells him to do. What you'll see next week, is an Elijah who is teachable, who not only listens to the voice of God, but obeys. It's one thing to hear the whisper. It's another to listen and to act upon it. I think this is especially relevant for us right now. We stand at an unprecedented uncertainty and time of change. Are we teachable? Are we flexible? Are we open to new ways of doing things? Keeping going might look like fresh vision and a different way of doing things and adjusting our plans. Where is God asking you to keep going, to continue in courage? What is God whispering to you? You will need to answer that question for you. I would like to answer it for BCV as a community. BCV, God is asking us to continue in courage, to be open, to be flexible, to receive a new strategy for a new season. But we will not find it in the thunder and the fire and the earthquake. We will find it in the whisper. We will find it in intimacy with him. And God is promising to meet our needs. He is promising to revive us where we are exhausted and to give us wisdom so that we can care for our bodies, so that we can care for our families and live this time well. And yet, he is asking us to keep going. not to give up. I wonder if Elijah would have had a different plan for himself. He probably would have. We'll see next week how he raises up Elisha. And we'll see how Elisha asks for a double portion. And I can't help but remember that the angel fed Elijah twice. Elijah receives a double portion, not when he's at his best, but when he is at his most vulnerable and at his worst. What if we were to believe God for our double portion, even in our exhaustion? And what if we look ahead and see that this is not about us, it's not for us, it's for the Elishas who come after us. We have to keep going. We can't quit. We are about to see the Elishas that God is going to raise up even in our community. The enemy wants us to give up, just like he wanted Elijah to give up. But God wants to give us courage to continue. Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear your whisper, to wait for it, to discern what is noise and what is your voice. I pray for anyone today who is exhausted. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive our bodies, our minds, and our emotions. For anyone who feels alone and isolated today, would you come and meet them powerfully right now? I pray for those who face unsolvable problems and challenges. Lord, would you give us wisdom and discernment and give us the courage to continue to lead at this time. I pray for teachers, students, parents, as schools begin again. Give us courage to step up to the challenges that lie ahead. Give us fresh vision at this time, fresh bread for this new season. And we surrender again to you, Holy Spirit. This maybe isn't what we would choose. But we say, come and have your way and give us courage to continue. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.